This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville. Yep. Hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving tomorrow. We are previewing the Washington-Dallas game, which kicks off tomorrow at 4:30. And right now, we hit the skins.
All right, boys, let's get into the matchup here a little bit. I always like to just kind of float around the internet and see what people are thinking. And sometimes I like to go to CBSSports.com, their expert picks.
Okay.
Of course, we know a bunch of the guys there. Brinson doesn't have his picks yet, but Pete Prisco, shocker. Let's just go straight up. Not that you're interested in that for betting purposes, but, you know, it kind of gives you a better feel for, you know, who they think is going to win the game. Prisco, of course, has got Dallas. Lockett Force is surprising to me. He's got Washington. Jared Dubin has got Washington. And then the two other writers that they have locked in, they have Dallas. So pretty split. When you go to ESPN's matchup predictor, again, I have no idea how that thing does week to week. There's got to be somewhere where somebody's tracking that. They've got actually Washington favored to win 54% of the time, Cakes, which is pretty good. I'll take that.
You have to like that. Yeah,
look, it's a toss-up game. They're both 3-7. They're both on backup quarterbacks. Dallas, I would say, has a weaker defense than Washington. Washington statistically has a decent defense, but we've talked about it. Those numbers, you know, are misleading. When you watch them, you never think, man, their defense is amazing. Teams have scored 30 on them regularly. So I think they're very similar teams.
No, I do think it's a toss-up game also, but I just give a slight lean for whatever reason to Dallas because I'm mostly biased based on the 31 points they scored against the Vikings. But prior to that, they had been swooning, you know, as we all know. I mean, they got smoked by Arizona in the middle of October, 38-10. Then we just dominated them and beat them 25-3. The Eagles, who are pretty woeful, they handled them 23-9. Then, you know, no shame in losing to the Steelers, who are undefeated. But then they kind of woke up when they got Dalton back, even though his numbers weren't spectacular. I think he only threw for maybe around 200 yards. But he did have 3 touchdowns.
I would have a hard time, by the way, picking the team whose coach went really deep to the comedy well. He went to the Gallagher well.
Yes.
Mike McCarthy, apparently, during a team meeting, he pulled out a sledgehammer and started smashing watermelons all over the place.
And what was the idea behind that?
I don't know. I guess he thought it would get his team fired up to try to hammer home the objectives that they had set up for the game. So he went full Gallagher, and there was watermelon getting sprayed everywhere.
He's going to have a chest of props like Carrot Top next week.
Right. Now, there is
if he gets Dubs, he'll do it.
There is an interesting subplot along the offensive lines here. Of course, last week, Morgan Moses, right, was moved to left tackle from right tackle, and I know Coach Rivera was very pleased with Morgan's performance there. Well, the Cowboys did something somewhat similar. They moved Zach Martin from guard to right tackle, And right. I believe that's going to continue for a while. So they've had a patchwork offensive line. They've had some issues there with injuries. I think that's one of the reasons, right, why we were able to do so well against them, in October. But that kind of helped solidify them a little bit. Let's see how that continues. That'll be something to look out for. JP sent me a link here, and I wasn't quite aware of this, but, you know, if you put any stock into Pro Football Focus and their numbers, the offensive line here for Washington has had improved play. Through the first 6 weeks of the season, the Washington offensive line, Cakes, had allowed 24 sacks before playing Dallas. Over the last four games, they've decreased that to just 8. And they've got a combined grade of 90.9 from Pro Football Focus, the highest of any non-quarterback positional group on any team in Week 11. So that's pretty good. So if they could give that kind of protection to Alex, we certainly know he needs that because he's not as mobile as he once was.
Yeah, you know that he wants to specialize in the quick game. I mean, you really saw it. Two and three games ago when he was targeting McKissick at a crazy rate, that fell, you know, back against the Bengals. I think he might see a little more uptick against Dallas to mitigate their pass rush. So, yeah, he wants to get rid of the ball quickly to McKissick, McLaurin, and lately Cam Sims.
EB, people always talk about the rivalry, right? So yeah. I wanted to look at the history.
Yeah.
And I stumbled onto Wikipedia, which has like a quick synopsis of the decades of the Cowboys against Washington. And this is a good trend, though, for you, EB. In the 2020s, Washington owns Dallas. They're 1-0.
1-0, baby.
Do you know what it was in the 2010s?
No.
Dallas 14, Washington 6.
Yeah.
How about the 2000s?
Probably not good either. I'm going to guess Dallas 14, Washington 5.
Washington 6.
Right. Right.
The 1990s, Dallas 12, Washington 8.
Hey, those I 90s, mean, man.
What about the 80s, though? Give me the 80s.
The 80s was close. Dallas had the edge 11-9.
Yeah, see? It's about as good as we could do.
Moral victory.
That's as good as we could do.
But the point is, the 2020s, EV, have started off right for Washington.
Yeah. Well, we get
1-0 over the dreaded Cowboys.
We can get out to a big head start here if we can find a way to win this one. Now,
yeah.
I'm a little nervous because when you look at the injury report, they have Terry McLaurin listed as questionable.
Yeah, he didn't practice.
He didn't practice. I don't believe Antonio Gibson practiced. Now, I'm assuming they're both going to play, but when you're listed as questionable, I mean, you know, that's technically 50-50.
McLaurin's was a minor ankle injury. He's going to be fine, and I think Gibson returned. I think he returned to full practice yesterday. He may have been.
Gibson is not on the list, but McLaurin is still, as of this morning, questionable.
What do you make of the psychological factor, the element in there? So I was asked about this on The Beat. Look for it. I'll put a link out on Glassjoe JP when it comes out. But they lost their strength coach, right? Had a heart attack.
Well, he's apparently still alive.
He's alive.
They initially reported that he was dead. Yeah. Right.
But he had a heart attack. And like Sean Springs was saying, well, you know, sometimes that'll galvanize a team.
For sure.
I never really believed that. Like they try harder, so they should be trying to win. But he was saying, you know, you're part of teams, and sometimes everybody
can focus
kind of
you
together and
focus
it's like
you.
A mission that you're going to win one for him. Or do you buy into that?
I mean, I think it could have a small factor. Yeah, I mean, it could lock guys in a little bit. I don't think maybe it could be the difference. I don't know. Do we have a report? Like, what is it? Did he have, like, a heart attack or stroke or something?
Heart attack, I believe.
It is. It was documented that he had a heart attack because I never saw exactly what it was. Just saw that it was an emergency situation. And then I saw Eli.
He shut down practice.
Yeah, I saw Eli, like, saying, you know, rest in peace. Like, it was over, you know?
Eli Manning?
Yeah, because he was a strength coach with the Giants for a long, long time.
That's my brother's dog.
Yeah.
He's played paddle tennis a few times.
Is it paddle they play together or they play pickleball?
Paddle tennis.
They play paddle? Yeah, paddle stinks. Pickleball's the game.
Pickleball's where it's at.
Right.
I don't even know
what paddle tennis is.
Paddle tennis, you hit them off the fence and everything. It's a wacky game.
Kind of like racquetball.
Kinda, yeah. But off the fence, it's wacky. Paddleball is a little easier, or pickleball a little easier, although the scoring, as Cakes mentioned, will throw you a little bit.
Yes, if you're a neophyte, if you're just learning,
I don't know. I told you this before. I found it funny when my brother played him the first time. And I guess, you know, he's new to paddle. My brother's been playing for years, and they have rankings and scorings.
Oh,
and
yeah, they have very sophisticated rankings.
He's on a different level. My brother is proud to be on a different level. He goes, you know what? Eli's a pretty good athlete.
What do you think? What do you think?
He's just waking up to that fact.
Of course. That just shows you the level of disrespect. All right, so when you look at the numbers here, Washington averaging right on the number, 20 points per game. Dallas, 23.5 points allowed. Washington giving up 22. Dallas, though, giving up almost 32 points per game. See, that's where you can exploit them. You can get healthy against that Dallas defense, Cakes.
Well, this Dallas defense, by the way, is allowing 4.75 yards per carry and 145 total rushing yards per game over the last few games. So
overall, 153.
The opportunity is there for Gibby and company to do some damage.
They're giving up 153, Cakes, on the season. Total yards given up, 415 for Dallas, 345 for Washington. So we all know that Washington is kind of absurdly high in some of these categories defensively. In terms of offensive production, yards passing, we only have 246. They're passing for almost 300 a game. Now, that's got to be all Dak early on, right?
Dak was putting up. Dak was running for like 400 a game or 450 a game.
He was putting huge numbers.
Think about how little Dak played this year. He had 9 touchdowns and 1,856 yards.
Right. Now, if you want to look at this from a betting angle, obviously because they're playing at AT&T Stadium, weather's not going to be an issue. Let me see. Betting trends. Washington and Dallas have played over in 8 of their last 10 meetings, Cakes, if you're into that.
I do like overs. We know it's been well documented.
And that's what we're talking about with the lack of defense. Look, if you go back to the first game, Cakes mentioned it, Gibson had a big game, had 20 carries for 128 yards. So they were able to run the football against Dallas. They put up 25 points, which at that time was a huge total for Washington because they weren't scoring. And Kyle Allen was pretty comfortable, had 2 touchdown passes.
And on the other side, Zeke has been very pedestrian in 2020. He has one 100-yard rushing game, and that was the game against the Vikings this past week.
Right.
So you have to hope that that the Washington football team defense did what they did against him in Week 7, holding him to 45 yards rushing. Now, he's going to get more than that, I would think, but just don't let him go crazy for 110, 120, and I think Washington football is right in this game.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, if you go back to that Dallas game, and I know that games, when you play a team a second time, it doesn't mean it's going to happen the exact same way. But Washington in that time, they weren't scoring many points. You know, they scored 10 against the Rams. They scored 19 against the Giants. And then the 25 points was kind of an explosion for Washington, but it's because they got right against Dallas. They almost had 400 yards of total offense. They finished with 397 in the game. I remember talking about it earlier in the season. We said, whoever's going to be the quarterback against the Dallas Cowboys, that's the get-right game. And I don't know that it's changed that much for Dallas. They've gotten a couple guys back on defense, but we saw what Kirk Cousins did against them and Dalvin Cook did against them. Up until that very last drive, and Kirk got a lot of criticism for it, they were having their way offensively against Dallas.
Right. What happened in that game, though? Like, I don't quite understand it. I guess it just came
in the Minnesota game?
Yeah.
Minnesota had a lead, and then Andy Dalton led them on a game-winning drive, essentially. And then Kirk had the ball, and they went 4 and out.
Right.
A lot of people said it was typical Kirk.
Right.
Now, he had a drop.
Yeah, good numbers, though. If you're a fantasy donk, Kirk put up nice numbers.
Yep.
Yeah, but what did they do? I mean, obviously, they were successful through the air. What did they do to put up all the points? I mean, were they just
CeeDee Lamb had a big game and had some big catches. I mean, look, they've got offensive talent. So Dalton didn't get sacked like you mentioned before. They have tweaked their offensive line, and it was the first time they were able to really protect their quarterback, and the quarterback was able to deliver to some skill players.
Right.
And as Cakes mentioned, Pollard ripped off one at the end.
Yep.
Now, one last betting nugget. This is from, I won't say where it's from, but they're saying the parlay to play Cakes is Dallas minus 2.5 and over 46. $10 on that will net you $26.
Tasty little payout.
So that's a tasty little parlay if you're into that. I would probably tease that and go the other way, though. I would go Washington plus the 8.5. Now I'd feel pretty good, and then go over the 40.
By the way, EB, you're going to have to send us your picks for Friday's show from the beach.
Okay. Well, I'll just, you know what, just take that for now, unless I change it. I'll go Washington plus 8.5 over 40.
Regardless of what Stucky says, you're sticking to your guns and doing two-game teasers with totals.
Well, it's got me in first place.
I don't disagree with you.
I'm desperate. I'm deviating from my script.
Really? Are you gonna take an under?
No.
You just said maybe pick a straight up?
Let's not get crazy. I would never take an under. I would never documented take an under.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to Washington football team insider J.P. Finley with the latest on some of the injuries and more as we talk Washington versus Dallas here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on this Thanksgiving Eve. That music generally means our friend J.P. Finley is on the line from NBC Sports Washington. What's up, Mr. Finley? How are you this morning?
I am doing well. Cakes, I actually had two thoughts. I was listening yesterday when you guys were talking about Greg Norman and your Aussie impression. Needs a little work, but the line about lifting the dumbbells was hysterical.
Right.
And then you guys were talking about Tony Pollard earlier.
Yeah.
Do you know why Antonio Gibson didn't really get much work until his last year at Memphis? It's because he was sitting behind Tony Pollard.
Right. Memphis, man, that school cranks out running backs. I mean, Antonio Gibson, you mentioned Pollard, Daryl Henderson in L.A. for the Rams. I mean, those guys recruit and develop some high-quality talent at the running back spot.
They score a ton, and I think guys like getting into that offense. And, you know, once you can show, like, high school kids that you can get guys to the pros, more and more of them will come.
Is this going to be a game where Washington pounds the football? Because we really haven't seen it all season long.
They ran the ball really well the first time they played Dallas, and they ran the ball really well last week. So maybe those two things would lend to believe that they're going to run it a lot. I think the way they ran the ball, especially in the second half last week against the Bengals, was a really good sign. Offensively, they achieved balance that they don't get to very often. I mean, they had 160 on the ground, and Alex only threw for 160 through the air. Dallas's defense is still pretty bad. I mean, you know, last week they had a really big win, arguably the best win an NFC East team has this year. But don't forget how bad this Dallas team has been over the course of 2-3 months. So certainly I think trying to run the ball early often would help Washington's offense on Thanksgiving.
And JP, you can also pass it all over the field on this Dallas secondary too. In just the last five games, Thielen has found the end zone twice. He did that this past weekend. Juju had an end zone visit, almost 100 yards. He had 93 against them. McLaurin, dating back to the first matchup, went for seven catches, 90 yards. He found the end zone. Christian Kirk scorched them for 86 and two touchdowns. So you can do it either way against this Dallas defense. You can do it on the ground or via the pass.
Certainly. And I think you can almost, to me, we're getting to the point where every week you can kind of count on McLaurin to get even, at least that, like, six catches for 75 yards and maybe more. And you know, he hasn't found the end zone with as much regularity this season as he did last year. But it's about the second threat or even the third, because one thing Alex Smith does, he spreads the ball around. And, you know, in his two starts now, I think 15 pass catchers have been targeted in the course of the two games. Not 15 different guys, but he threw eight different receivers got a target 2 weeks ago. Seven, I think, against the Bengals. Everybody is in play on these pass plays, and I think that's different for this team. And I think that's exciting for these young pass catchers like Cam Sims and Isaiah Wright and Steven Sims, where they know on every play they have to run their complete route because Alex might look to them, because Alex is able to go through his progressions. He's able to really assess pre-snap where he believes the ball should go, and I think Scott Turner and Ron Rivera have talked about how much getting somebody in there that knows the system could help their evaluation period. I think the coaching staff is learning so much more about some of these skill position guys with Alex at quarterback that maybe they weren't able to with Kyle or with Dwayne at quarterback, just because he's running the offense at a really high level. The touchdown throw to Steven Sims was just so –
that was really good play.
So smart last week. Yeah, and it was a great play call by Turner. I think the offense is starting to – now, last week was kind of boring, but that's what the game flow called for, and they won the game. But I'm starting to be more encouraged about the offense and more confused about the defense, kind of looking ahead.
Let's stick with Alex Smith. I wanted to get your opinion of how – Coach Rivera, when he was asked about the Captain Checkdown moniker, he claimed he was unaware.
Something.
How did he deal with that?
He was, I think, polite about the question, but there's no coach in the world that's going to call their quarter. Maybe like Bruce Arians. Maybe there
right.
is a coach out there that would say something like that. But no way Ron is going to stand for Alex Smith being called Captain Checkdown. And you know, that nickname, I don't think it's really well intended, right? Like, it's kind of a joke.
Yeah,
it's a slight, for sure. Well said. So I think Ron defended his guy. And I think it's only two starts and really three games, but we're seeing a more aggressive Alex Smith right now than we did in 2018 when he was the starter.
Yeah,
and
but you know
downfield
what?
Throws
yeah, I agree with you.
Every
but
game.
You... I wanted to say that I was looking at your Twitter, and you have a good nugget which dates back to 2015. Do you want to let us know the trend which you uncovered? JP Finley's going
sure.
deep on the Twitter. Look at this.
This is wild. And again, this speaks to game flow and playing complementary football and stuff. But since 2015, Alex Smith as a starter is 9-0 when he completes more than 65% of his passes and throws for under 200 yards. In Washington, he's 2-0, so last week being one of those games. And you can go all the way back to his rookie year, and I didn't tweet this out. If you go all the way back to his rookie year, he's 19-5-1 in those situations.
Wow. So that's so bizarre, though. Why is it good to be under 200?
Because you don't want Alex throwing a ton. You just want him taking care of the ball. It's like game management games, win ugly. That's the Alex Smith formula.
I that's a huge part of it, but I also think it means that you're running the ball really well.
Yeah.
And it generally, anytime a quarterback – because so I asked Ron about that exact stat, and Ron said, you can go and look. If you find quarterbacks throwing between 175 and 225, teams tend to win those games, and it's because you're running the football really well. And you can get into a big-time argument, especially with the analytics crowd, about – causation versus correlation. And a lot of times you can claim you're running the ball really well if you have a big lead, and in the fourth quarter you're just kind of salting the game away. But other people will argue that if you run the ball early, you run the ball. If you run the ball well early in a game, you run the ball well the whole game. So it's a bit of a chicken and egg. But the other key to that is it's easy to just say, oh, man, he only threw for 180 yards. But if it's accurate, typically you're converting third downs. Typically you're having long drives. You're controlling time of possession. And all of those factors are typically lead to victories.
JP, this is just a tingle. Okay, I didn't go to BetQL and run it through the analytics, but my tingle tells me that tomorrow is a big-time Gibby 20-carry type of game. That's just the tingle that your boy over here is getting. Are you getting the same tingle over there?
I can see it. I can certainly see it. Maybe 20 touches, and it's like 15 carries, 6 catches, something like that, but I can certainly see it. J.D. McKissic hasn't been getting work. They like Peyton Barber for whatever reason. But I think Gibson's really starting to emerge. And I that's kind of what I expected. Go back to what Ron said in August about Antonio Gibson and during training camp when we were kind of getting our first look at him. And he said, you know, lots to learn. He's the type of guy that I think will really help us second half of the year once he gets his legs under him, once he kind of understands the offense, once everything starts to click. And the guy's got a rushing touchdown in 4 straight games. He's got 8 rushing touchdowns on the season. He's only behind Alfred Morris now in Washington franchise rookie running back touchdowns, which is pretty wild. I think Alf had 12 in 2012. But, you know, this is the type of game. Dallas, I'm always wary of teams that have a really emotional response the week before. And everybody knows how Mike McCarthy was blasting on watermelons, and this Saturday night team meeting for the Cowboys was evidently super hyped up. Is a bad team going to be able to carry that over 3 days later? Or does McCarthy have to smash something? You know what I mean? Is he going to be smashing other things tonight before this Cowboys game? Or do you think there's part of Dallas? It's like, man, we just went to Minnesota. We've won up there. We're riding high, and I think that actually kind of bodes well for Washington. Ron Rivera even kind of made fun of the watermelon smashing. I don't know if you guys heard that yesterday.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I saw it on your Twitter.
He joked about smashing pumpkins, nice. Which is also a silly 90s band.
Fire it up, Maldives. Play some Chair of Rock. Oh, my God, this is amazing.
Hey, JP, you know, it's been obvious the last few weeks, and we've been talking about it all week, but your teams are neutralizing Washington excellent pass rush with the quick passing attack. JP thinks that they don't typically do that, Dallas. You know, they're like longer developing plays with their threats. How do you see them attacking Washington? Do you think they'll kind of ape what other teams have been doing these last few weeks with a quick passing attack, or do you think they'll just do their thing?
Well, I think if I was Dallas, I would try to run the ball first. They really got Ezekiel Elliott going last week. I think Washington has struggled against the run. I mean, go back to that Giants game a couple weeks ago. Alfred Morris and Wayne Gallman were just gashing them. So if it was me, I would try to start. I would start with Zeke and even mix in some Tony Pollard just for that change of pace. But I don't know that Andy Dalton is the guy to execute the quick pass game, but I would think they'd at least try it. But you're right. Kellen Moore is the play caller down there. He seems to me to have a little bit of maybe Jay Gruden in him, in that he wants to run his system and have it execute at a high level and not necessarily attack each team with a different game plan each week, kind of what you see from Josh McDaniels and, like, the Patriots mindset where, you know, each week can be a different game plan. They like going deep. They have big play receivers. I think, you know, you got CeeDee Lamb starting to come on for them, so we'll see. But no, I wouldn't expect the same. And Washington kind of gave that to Burrow last week, the ability to move down the field and pick up first downs, but not a lot of chunk plays, not let anybody beat you deep. I think with the safety core that Washington has right now, where you've got 2 practice squatters, a 7th-round rookie, and Troy Apke, who might be 4th out of that crew, I think they're going to try to play something similar where just you can't get beat deep. which will be more difficult this week against Lamb and Cooper and kind of this Dallas attack. But I think they'll lean on the run heavy and then try to hit play action. So we'll see. Maybe they'll adapt to especially the success Cincy was having in the first half last week.
Cam Sims clearly emerging these last few weeks. You expect that to continue?
I hope so. Yes, I expect it, and I hope so. You guys should try to get him on the show.
He's a good dude.
He's an awesome, awesome guy, and a really fun story. And, I mean, he's now been, you know, undrafted, practice squad cut, mm-hmm. called up for a game, gets hurt, IR. I mean, a lot of guys, I think, would have kind of fallen into a woe is me or like a negative attitude, and he never did and just always kept working really hard. And I'm glad to see his success now. And honestly, we were talking about this yesterday at practice. Dontrell Inman has missed basically a month now with a hamstring. If I was the coaches, if or when Inman gets back, I would keep Cam and Isaiah Wright out there. I mean, you've got way more to learn about those guys than you do Inman. And you've got way more invested in their development. And, you know, for all the conversation about the NFC East, one thing that Rivera, Washington is able to do, they got young guys playing everywhere, and you're able to learn about some of these guys. I mean, I think Sims and Wright, both Sims and Wright, aren't necessarily – I don't know that Cam Sims is a legit number two to Terry's number one, but if you were able to sign a veteran in free agency and then Cam Sims is your number three, I think that would be a really good role for him.
Right, because you know what Inman is. He's a journeyman, a guy who can, you know, play in stretches and be a possession guy. But I agree, you play the young guys, see what they have, and see if you can develop your in-house guys.
They signed Inman in August. Like, yeah. That's never the plan. Occasionally, there's the free agent that's holding out for the right deal or whatever, but that's not what Dontrell Inman is doing.
Gotcha. All right. Hey,
waiting for a call.
JP, any special Thanksgiving plans?
I'll be working. And my wife is going to go to her parents' house, so I have the house to myself with no screaming children, and I'm going to grill a ribeye steak because turkey kind of sucks.
Look at that.
Wow, look at that.
That is a rogue Thanksgiving for JP Finley.
It sounds like a lonely Thanksgiving, actually.
I think he's kind of sized.
I kind of think it sounds awesome. Maybe that's just me.
He's going to be solo watching football, having steak.
Right.
He doesn't have to.
I like the steak part.
He's got two young kids, which everybody loves their kids, but everybody also loves a break sometimes.
For sure.
And we're going to, I mean, my wife's used to me working on Thanksgiving. My oldest daughter is 5 years old, and I've spent one Thanksgiving with her just because Washington almost always plays on Thanksgiving. So we usually do our thing Friday anyway, and we'll have a nice dinner at the house Friday and do it up, mashed potatoes and all that stuff then.
That makes sense. All right, thank you, JP. Have a great day, man.
Thank you, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too, thanks, buddy.
Same number a little bit later in the show. We'll actually talk entertainment. If you have a four-day weekend, Kevin McCarthy's going to fill us in on some movies, things that you can watch on Netflix and beyond. He'll join us at 8:40. Will Brinson from CBS Sports as we go around the NFL at 9 o'clock. Next, it's the Junkies Blitz here on The Fan. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Going to get you up to speed on what's happening on Thanksgiving in the NFL. You have three games. By the way, it was beautiful when they added the late games.
Fantastic.
So that we have three games to enjoy versus two. Whoever came up with that idea a few years ago, genius.
Give that guy a bonus.
Yes. Give me the order because I haven't really. All I'm thinking about is Washington.
I'll give you the order. I have it memorized, burned into my brain.
All right, go ahead.
12:30 kick.
All right.
Detroit hosts the Texans.
Yep.
All right. I'm sick of Detroit on Thanksgiving, but go ahead.
By the way, according to BetQL, Houston is laying 3 on the road, and your over-under is 51 and a hook job. That is your highest total on Turkey Day.
Yeah,
I told
like
you my
number.
Tingle play yesterday was bet the Texans. Now the Texans are
the fave. They're not the dog in the game. So that is your appetizer.
Right.
Your main course, 4:30 kick from Dallas. Dallas is a 3-point favorite at home. You're over under as they face Washington is 46 points.
All right.
And then as JP mentioned, your nightcap, Valdez will have a full tummy and his pants down around his ankles to watch his Ravens travel to Pittsburgh. That's an 8:20 kick. Pittsburgh laying 5 in this one, and your over-under is a paltry, not poultry, paltry 44.5.
Nice, you know, it's probably better, Valdez, right, that you have that game as the last one, so you can actually enjoy Thanksgiving before it's sort of a what could be a torturous game, right?
And his expectations can't be high. The Ravens.
But it's good. He'll enjoy it. But if it was the 1 o'clock game, it really spoils Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Wouldn't spoil it.
Right. And I think he's got a low bar because look, they've got 10 positive COVID-19 tests now.
Well, remember
how many are 10 players or just on the team? Like, is it
some
or
of the
is
guys
players
think
and coaches?
Are active roster? You know, like, and you know, like Trace McSorley's on there.
Two thirds of the running back room are on it, which definitely hurts. And Ingram and Dobbins.
Dobbins and Ingram are out.
Buy stock in Gus Edwards.
I did.
Up on the Gus bus.
I definitely picked him up on one of my fantasy teams.
Well, it's a smart move.
Remember my theory. The Ravens are like herpes. They flare up every time they play a good team.
So you think this is going to be a bad one?
They haven't had success against a decent team this year. Their only win is against the Browns, and the Browns were bad in week one. They're a lot better now.
Cakes?
Yes, sir.
7 straight wins in the CBS Fantasy League.
Your team is a
legit
juggernaut.
Yeah.
7 straight
guys,
wins?
You've got Russell Wilson, which is great at quarterback. Who else is
my
like
top two, Josh Jacobs.
He's a stud.
Yeah, and then my other running back is Derrick Henry. Not bad.
Wow, not bad. He's a top two running back in the league this year. Not bad.
But I mean, he's averaging 17 points a game for me. I mean,
Henry is what. Outside of Kamara, King Henry's the best running back in the league.
And I like Eric's theory where he goes, "You need a good quarterback on your fantasy team to win."
Right.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, so I've got Josh Jacobs and Derrick Henry.
We also have Russell Wilson, who's giving me 27 a game, almost 28 points a game. I mean, I think you do need a good quarterback. Actually, my team is actually silly.
How are you luckboxing into 7 straight wins? I'm offended.
Russell Wilson, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Christian Kirk, DeVante Parker, a little bit of Eric Dingy and Valdez Scantling. Maybe I can upgrade that. Gronk is coming through for me lately.
When's the last time you made a free agent pickup?
Like 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago? Okay.
Yeah, I've been managing my roster here, Cakes.
Okay, all right.
You're joning, but your boys.
Hey, you know what? It's from a place of petty jealousy because I don't have a 7 straight wins in the Nats Philanthropies League. No chance.
I think I should make a switch, though. What do you think? The Browns for the Colts defense. The Browns play Jacksonville.
I would play
the
Browns
against the Jags.
Yeah, I think I'm going to play the Browns this
week.
I
mean, all Jake Luton does is throw the ball to the opposing team.
And the Browns are coming off a game without Myles Garrett where they had a pick six and a safety.
All right, who do you like better, real quick, Kenny Golladay or I'm ruining JP's blitz?
Okay.
Or T. Higgins?
Stop. Kenny Golladay hasn't played in
like
4
he's
weeks.
Still hurt. All right, okay. That's why he's on my bench.
This is why I'm offended. This is why I get bitter. Because I know that Kenny Golladay is a terrible play. He won't even play tomorrow.
Why? They have him projected at eight points tomorrow.
I don't know. All I know is he's not playing. If you see Kenny Golladay on your screen tomorrow, catching touchdown passes, you're living in a bizarro alternate universe.
So he's definitely out because they don't have him updated as out.
He is out.
They have it. They says questionable. He practiced on Monday.
He's not going to play.
All right.
It's a lost season. That team is in disarray.
I see he mispracticed on Tuesday, EB.
Okay, we say he's limited in practice on Monday. I didn't see the
limited.
Not a lost season.
On Tuesday. Hold on, wait, stop. Drab, what did you just say?
They were just their graphic was on Sunday Night Football for in the hunt for NFC wild card. I know you hate the Lions and you think Matt Patricia is dumber than AWOD, but they're 4-5. They're not out of it.
4-6.
Okay. 4-6.
They went on the road and they played against a team with an XFL quarterback and they didn't score a single point. against the Panthers defense that lets everybody score points. And you're going to tell me that's a team that's still in contention?
I believe the Redskins were 3-7, and Mike Shanahan was evaluating players before they made the playoffs.
That is true. They went on a run.
Hold on. You think this Lions team can turn it around and contend for the playoffs?
Are you doing a bit?
I'm not doing a bit, but you find a way to make a snide remark about the Lions every day.
He does that about Bill O'Brien and the Lions.
Bill O'Brien.
And who was proven correct in Bill O'Brien?
What I'm just saying is that you have your punching
right
bag.
Now
that Bill O'Brien's gone, it's Matt Patricia.
He's not a punching bag. Look at what he's done since he took over.
We're on to you, and we're rooting for the Lions because of it.
Matt Patricia.
I'm just saying he's in your crosshairs.
He's like 13-27 since he's taken over there.
I know he's your new Bill O'Brien. Because you used to throw uppercuts against Bill O'Brien.
Now I'm praying that Deshaun Watson goes in and puts up 38 on your golden boy Matt Patricia.
And I hope Matt Patricia uses that number two pencil and has some plays to stop Deshaun Watson.
Oh man, I've never been more excited for a Lions Thanksgiving Day game than I am for this one. I'm very excited.
Yeah. Speaking of Thanksgiving, I actually think we could spend some time talking about this and maybe open it up to callers.
All right.
Patrick Mahomes, arguably the leader in the clubhouse for MVP this year, having an amazing season, was asked about his Thanksgiving and his plans. And Patrick Mahomes said for his turkey and his ham, he's going to put ketchup on them.
Ooh.
Well, you know why?
Who else does that?
It's aggressive.
Well, he's doing that for ketchup on turkey and ham. 800-636-1067. I didn't know that was a thing.
You know he has a ketchup endorsement, right? You're aware of that, right? He's a Hunt. First of all, this is the first I've ever heard of this. He's a Hunt's ketchup guy. He likes Kareem Hunt's ketchup. I never knew that was a thing.
Over what, Heinz ketchup?
Heinz is your in the clubhouse leader, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, ketchup.
Nobody goes into a giant and says, man, I need some Hunt's ketchup.
But who uses ketchup on ham?
Nobody.
And who uses ketchup on turkey?
That's just got to be an endorsement thing. That's got to be an endorsement thing. I understand why he's putting something on turkey, because turkey's flavorless.
But that's why there's gravy.
Nobody does that. He has the ketchup endorsement because he has a weird obsession with ketchup. He puts it on everything, on barbecue. It's like a running bit for him.
Ketchup is gross.
Like, if you
ketchup
remember,
is not
Kwame,
great.
It's like Kwame Brown, who supposedly went around with... was it French dressing?
French dressing, yes, that's his bit.
It's well renowned.
Yeah, I don't need ketchup in my life. I could go the rest of my life and never have ketchup, and I'd be okay.
It's actually disgusting.
Not a fan.
And as someone who is white trash, it's for white trash.
I mean, I don't mind a little ketchup and mustard on my burger.
No ketchup on a burger.
Mustard,
no ketchup
greater
on
than
fries.
Sign ketchup.
I would agree greater, but I don't mind both. Ketchup, mustard, and pickle, and some cheese. I mean, that's a classic hamburger. I mean, I'm going to put that on it.
Hamburger.
No, hamburger connoisseurs use either mayo or barbecue sauce.
Oh. Sorry.
Barbecue.
Sorry if we offended the hamburger connoisseur. Yeah,
I don't put barbecue sauce on my hamburger.
I like barbecue sauce and like some like silly onion rings around.
Ketchup on a hot dog. Yes. Nubs. Ketchup on a hot dog is nubs.
That's correct. It's correct thinking.
Mustard only.
Mustard and relish.
Yes.
Delicious.
And
I don't
raw
mind
onion.
Ketchup and mustard. But I mean, and listen, I could go the rest of my life without having ketchup, believe me.
You dip your fries in ketchup, your nubs.
I want to throw it out there. If you throw something wacky on your turkey, you can claim it, or on your ham, or if your nubs like Patrick Mahomes and put ketchup, let alone Hunt's ketchup, not even Heinz.
Now, I would put ketchup on everything if I were getting paid what Patrick Mahomes is getting paid.
I would drink it straight
every single day. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, Valdez would change his tune with the quickness, too.
Oh, yeah. You pay me money, I'll endorse it.
Of course. Right. Or if Matt Patricia loved ketchup. Those guys would be all about it.
Aren't you like a warm milk guy, too, or something?
Warm milk? No, I just love milk.
You hurt your neck, didn't you? I see you straining.
Can you tell?
Yeah, oh,
my neck is killing me. I have no idea.
Lifting or something? You slept on it funny?
I think I slept on it funny.
Are you shaking your head a bunch for your King Dandruff bit on TikTok? Is that what it is?
I can't move my head.
Yeah, I mean, I see the way you're moving. It's awful.
Can you tell what side it is, too?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're left. You can't look left, right?
Right.
Valdez, yeah. You missed these magic fingers.
I know. I wish you were here.
I could work my magic. My what fingers? My Vienna sausage fingers?
Right. <He's...
laughs> Look at those.
I chose to have a weekend filled with golf, too. There's I don't know how I'm going to do this.
No chance Gates has ever palmed a basketball.
Oh, don't you? Like you can?
I know I can.
Get out of here with that.
They just look particularly small under the bright lights.
Look at that. They're Trump-like.
Oh, yeah.
All right, got to take a break if you want to chime in. 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.